Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We are recording this at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday, November 17th, before anything fantasy-worthy happens in Raiders and Cowboys to wrap up, what, week 11 of the National Football League season. Getting a jump here, I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship. Might be at one of the original Hooters locations tonight. For some of Cowboys and Raiders, visit originalhooters.com for easy online ordering and location information in the greater Tampa Bay area. Also want to thank Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They hope you are never in need of legal assistance, but if you are, you can reach out for a free consult at 813-902-3576 and find out what a full-service law firm can do for you. You can also request that free consultation at brandonlegalgroup.com. My email, right.todd@yahoo.com. I thank Tony, a former league champion in one of the leagues I commission, for his piqued interest on PPFD that I talked about in a previous podcast. As I responded to Tony, and I have almost exclusively used and played Yahoo Fantasy Football for 10 plus years now, I went into one of my leagues and just played with the scoring settings, and it's right there. And it's specific to rushing attempts and receiving plays. Rushing and receiving, you can add bonus points for first downs. And it looks like you can put in anything you want, whether it's a full point, a half point. I mean, I have 8 months to think about this. On a trial, do I go 0.33, one third of a point for first down, just to add something? Somewhere between 0.25 and 0.5 is where I'm leaning if I'm going to do this next year in one of my leagues. I like the idea of PPFD because it clicks the boxes of a player helping his NFL team as well as doing something tangibly to reward you as his fantasy owner. And it's a bump that can be as achievable by a running back or someone running the ball as opposed to catching the ball. We're going to look ahead this year. I think more than most, there are bad defenses that you can take advantage of in fantasy football. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit. For those of you that want to look for a tiebreaker, look for a waiver ad, look for a reason to play someone that may or may not be in your starting lineup every week, There are some teams that have favorable matchups against bad defenses that might benefit you in the coming weeks. Quick review. Before Raiders-Cowboys on Monday night, some big numbers put up in Week 11. Biggest week since Week 1 for Josh Allen owners. In my scoring settings, he was number one overall, producing 6 touchdowns, 3 via the rush, 3 via the pass. Sean Tucker, available in 73% of leagues, and I would imagine in the 27% of Yahoo leagues where he was owned, I'm guessing that is under 10% he was starting. And for those of you who had to sit Jonathan Taylor on his bye week and plugged and played Sean Tucker, you might have something special going on this year to win your league. And I would love to hear from anyone who did that, who owns Jonathan Taylor, hated that his bye week like everybody else, and you played Sean Tucker because you didn't have Jonathan Taylor. I'd like to hear from one person who did that, because that's living right. Christian McCaffrey comes in next in my scoring settings as RB2 off the Niners, putting up a big number against Arizona. Bryce Young was QB2 in my scoring settings, available in 87% of Yahoo leagues. Dare I ask, for people that had been playing Daniel Jones, it's not as much of a given as Jonathan Taylor, and you plugged and played Bryce Young. Is there anyone who did that? Also, Carolina swept Atlanta this year. Atlanta, the next 2 weeks, has the Saints and the Jets. They lose one or both of those with likely almost guaranteed losses later to the Seahawks, at the Bucs, and to the Rams. And that's it for Raheem Morris, especially with Michael Penix done for the year and Kirk Cousins playing with whatever he has left to play. Yeah, I think that's it for Raheem Morris. Being swept by Carolina, that Carolina is more the other factor than Tampa Bay in the division than Atlanta, that'll be enough for Arthur Blank to say, yeah, this isn't working. Travion Henderson off his 3-touchdown night on Thursday. I show his RB3 for week 11 prior to Monday night in my scoring settings. We'll talk about him in a moment. Bijan Robinson, he's doing all he can for Atlanta, even when he gets vultured a touchdown by Algier, which I think he did again in week 11. Tet McMillan, nice stack. If you stack Bryce Young and Tet McMillan, it paid off big time. Kenneth Gainwell, in relief of Jaylen Warren against that Bengal defense, put up big numbers at the running back position, available in 67% of leagues. ETN for the Jags, one of his better games, since the first month of the season, as the Jags smashed the Chargers. Jacoby Brissett, setting an NFL record for completions, letting it fly. Top 10 overall in fantasy points in my scoring settings. Kittle was tight end one. This is all prior to the Monday night game. Wilson, imagine a stack of Wilson and Brissett treated people well. Brock Purdy put up a very nice number. There's Trey McBride with Brissett. Ken Walker, one of his better games of the year. Christian Watson flashed. I've been waiting for that to happen. Some of that happened because Josh Jacobs got dinged, so Green Bay had to have another option when getting in the red zone. And it goes on from there. Another good game for Jameson Williams, although Dan Campbell, 0-for-5 on fourth downs, hurting his team, while, as a listener to the podcast very accurately said that I was texting during the game, Dan Campbell continues to cost the Lions games while reminding everyone he has a big dick. What's the point? Are you trying to prove you have the biggest penis, or are you trying to win the Super Bowl? So let's look ahead at week 12, and I'll even give you week 17. In my leagues a few years ago, we stopped playing fantasy in week 17. If you're playing fantasy in week 18, I got nothing for you. I'm not even doing podcasts for you in week 18 because it's just dumb. There are so many games that lack integrity to have your fantasy championship decided by week 18 is a very bad decision, and you shouldn't be making it anymore. Week 17, I chose years ago. to stop fantasy in week 17 and 1 week earlier, because Derrick Henry sat out a game that the Titans didn't need to win. They needed to win week 18. Week 17, the result didn't matter. And Jalen Hurts sat out a week 17 game that he could have played if the Eagles needed to win it. So I moved some things back, and it's paid off for us. We have our – basically, we determine the fantasy champion by week 16, and we're done. But I'll give you week 17, at least in what I'm going to do here. In the look ahead, I picked seven teams that I think we would all agree are bad defensively, either overall or specific more to pass or run. But these are not teams known for being good defensively. In no particular order: Dallas, Cincinnati, the Giants, Washington. So nice spot for the Eagles, right? We're going to talk about it. Three of the bad defenses are in the Eagles division. Then, actually, I did eight teams: Vegas, Chicago, Tennessee, and Atlanta. So I've got 1/4 of the National Football League, and I went through and looked at their schedules and kind of did a spreadsheet of what teams appear most on these eight schedules from week 12 to week 17. First of all, let's talk about the Eagles. And for as much as even in the win on Sunday night, if you're a Saquon Barkley owner, you're frustrated. If you're an A.J. Brown owner, you're frustrated. If you're a Devontae Smith owner, you're frustrated. Jalen Hurts, you're probably thinking you should have more. The tush-push on back-to-back plays didn't work to basically end the game. That percentage keeps dropping, yet the Eagles keep winning. Their strength is clearly their defense right now. But from a fantasy standpoint, it's not like you're not playing Jalen Hurts, you're not playing Saquon Barkley, you're not playing Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. And in four of the next 6 weeks, where playoffs, whether you're a playoff team and the playoffs are held in your fantasy league, Philly gets perceived bad defenses four of the 6 weeks. They're going to get Dallas. They're going to get Chicago. They're going to get Vegas. And they're going to get Washington. So better days are likely ahead for your players on the Eagles to do something big for you, because the schedule is more in the Eagles' favor from a fantasy standpoint overall from week 12 to week 17 than any other team I can identify in the National Football League. No one has four or more of the next 6 weeks against what I just wrote down as eight bad defenses: Dallas, Cincy, the Giants, Washington, Vegas, Chicago, Tennessee, and Atlanta. I left Pittsburgh out of this because they're playing better defense. And I think we know they have the personnel to play better defense and the coaching to play better defense. And they are. Minnesota pops up offensively three times. Now, the question here is, yeah, but Minnesota doesn't seem very good offensively. You Justin Jefferson owners feel like you haven't gotten your first round investment in Jefferson. And when the Vikings seemed to force the ball to Jefferson, that didn't work in a loss to Chicago. So is the problem just J.J. McCarthy? Is the problem deeper than this with the Vikings? Even Jordan Addison isn't putting up the touchdowns at the same rate as he has the last couple of years. So, but I will say this for Justin Jefferson owners and for people looking for maybe a guy to pick up, if one of the Vikings running backs is available on waivers, if Addison or Naylor is available on waivers, or you want to take a chance on Hockenson, or you're in a two quarterback league and you want to take a chance on JJ, other than Philly, Minnesota faces three of these bad eight defenses in the next 6 weeks. They get Washington, they get the Giants, and they get the Cowboys. So maybe that's some hope for Jefferson and a wide receiver or a running back. If you're looking for something, Minnesota's matchups are second most favorable for fantasy purposes to Philly the next 6 weeks. Then we're going to identify a few that are just two. I'm surprised there aren't more. I guess Kansas City is in here twice. They get Dallas on Thanksgiving, and they get Tennessee in week 16. So that's two spots where you hope for, obviously you're playing Mahomes every week anyway. I know you're disappointed with what he did against Denver, but that's Denver. But if you're hopeful on a Chiefs running back or wide receiver roulette for the Chiefs other than Rashee Rice, you've got a couple of good spots there with Dallas on Thanksgiving and week 16 against Tennessee, and the Chiefs are likely fighting for a wild card spot. Because Denver, in my opinion, Denver's going to win the next 2 weeks. They should win the next 2 weeks. That puts them at 11-2. Can they be caught to win the division at 11-2? I think the range of outcomes is lessened if Denver gets to 11-2, and they're in a position to do that. Some others that pop up twice in good fantasy matchups. The Chargers, granted, they just weren't ready to play. I heard Christina Freeland say on T-Kraz's radio show last Friday in Tampa how Justin Herbert had taken more hits than any quarterback in the NFL, and she was worried about him. And perhaps that was a factor in the collapse of the Chargers in the Jacksonville game, a game that was never close. The Chargers get two favorable fantasy matchups the next 6 weeks. They get a game against Las Vegas, and they get a game against the Cowboys. So if you own Vidal, you know, guys on the edge that you don't necessarily play every week, you're looking at those two games where you might have more of a reason to play those guys and think you're going to get something big. And Vidal has produced some big games. Gadsden has produced some big games. Obviously, you like that from a Ladd McConkey standpoint, that you've got two of those games. Travion Henderson, your $20 lottery ticket on a rookie running back, paying off the last 2 weeks, it should pay off for two more. New England has Cincinnati next, and then the Giants. They don't pop up anywhere else on this board, but considering how hot Travion is, and we all knew he was coming, so the Jets knew he was coming on Thursday night, they still couldn't stop him. They didn't bother covering him the third time. So Travion Henderson, who may or may not have been in your lineup week 11 against the Bucs, I'm sorry, week 10 against the Bucs. More likely he was in your lineup against the Jets week 11. He's got to be in your lineup week 12 against the Bengals. And barring injury or something weird, in your lineup week 13 against the Giants. It's a really good month to be a Travion Henderson owner. Ravens, still in the mix to win the AFC North. Ravens in week 13 and week 15 get Cincinnati. So obviously you Lamar Jackson owners are starting him, but that's going to make you feel better. That's going to make Derrick Henry owners feel better. Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, especially with how creatively they use him. Ravens get Cincinnati twice. They don't pop up anywhere else on this board. think I have one more that pops up twice. Well, two. Cleveland. This is sort of just a Quinshon Judkins alert. Cleveland gets Tennessee in week 14 and Chicago in week 15. That should be a lot of Judkins. And Green Bay still has two chances to light up the Bears. You know, the more the Bears figure out a way to win these games or on this win streak, I'm thinking the Bears might sneak in as the 7. I think they could. Yeah. I'd take them more likely as to sneak in than Carolina. We still have, 7 weeks to go. But the more close games you win, the more close games you're going to win. The Ben Johnson effect. 7 seeds don't necessarily have to be good teams. They just have to believe. But yeah, Bears are looking more and more like a possible 7 seed. They'll go head-to-head with Green Bay week 14 and week 16. So those are good spots to play Packers as you're trying to figure out, you know, is Jordan Love going to get on a roll or not? Because he's not an every week QB1 right now. And deciding who he's going to be throwing to, especially with Tucker Kraft out for the year. And you got to keep checking status on Josh Jacobs, who plays hurt. You know he was hurt when he left that game and didn't come back yesterday. So those are the favorable matchups for fantasy purposes the next 6 weeks that may or may not help you determine who's going to be in your lineups some weeks, or where you're looking to pick up somebody on waivers and or tiebreakers in terms of who you're going to start to try to get into the playoffs and then try to win your fantasy championship. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later in the week.